So I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I feel like he wants to help somebody. Don't you feel that? Amen. It's a sweet presence. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Amen. I'll tell you something, friend. Jesus Christ is on his way back. I don't know if you realize it or not, but I believe in the rapture. Yeah. How many believes in the rapture? How many believes Jesus is coming back? How many's looking for him? Woo! Glory to God. Amen. Now you may be happy down here, but I'm telling you, I'm a country boy looking for a city. Hey. I said, I'm a country boy looking for a city whose building maker is God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Amen. I want to say real quickly, thank you for this opportunity. Amen. Pastor Goodwin and the rest of the board, thank you. And we appreciate you. And you're a blessing to our ministry. Brother Goodwin and Sister Goodwin are not just acquaintances. They are very, very personal, dear friends of ours. And I really appreciate them, and I want them to know that. Amen. That we appreciate you. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus. Somebody say sleep in Jesus. Amen. Just because it's a funeral don't mean they sleeping in Jesus. Say amen. Will God bring with him? For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. That's my grandmama and my grandpa. Amen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort ye one another with these words. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many is excited about the rapture? Hallelujah. I want to preach on three things to know about the rapture. There's a lot of things you can learn about it. There's really only three things you need to know. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we love you tonight. I thank you for your spirit that I feel. Surely you are among us, oh God. I pray for every soul in this place. You'd move upon every life. Don't let one person leave like they came, but by your anointing and by your power, God, do a work in every heart. Do a work in every heart in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, won't you give him a praise right now? Just lift your hands. Praise him. We worship you. Meet every need in the name of Jesus. Church said amen. You may be seated. God bless you. You know, the rapture is really it's a point in Pentecost. A lot of argument and a lot of things can come out of it. I mean, how many knows that? And there's a lot of different beliefs surrounding the coming of the Lord. You have pre-tribulation, mid-trib and post-trib. All of these things that are real, they make for good debate and good discussion. Amen. But the Bible said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Amen. Mark 13 says it like this. He said, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son. Wow. That's the one that died for us. Said, but the Father. Amen. Father's the only one knows when. Now, I'm not here to preach against nothing. Don't nobody take me wrong. But I want to point out some things that I believe are very important about the rapture. And if you're trying to figure out what I am, if I'm pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib, I'll clear it up for you. I'm pan-trib. Come on now. It'll pan out when it happens. Amen. Hallelujah. I promise you it's going to happen. Help me now. The Lord is coming. That's the first thing you need to know about the rapture, is that the Lord is coming. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know. I believe it doesn't matter what you believe, that if you don't preach the rapture could take place in the next split second, honey, you're not preaching the truth. Come on now. Amen. If you don't preach, I'm telling you right now, I believe it all in my heart before I gasp for my next breath, and that's what I'm doing is gasping. But before I gasp for my next breath, I can tell you the rapture could take place. Honey, we could be called out of here. I just can't help but believe the Father's on the edge of His throne, and He's about to tell the Son, go get my children. But I want you to know something. I don't care if you're a Muslim. I don't care if you pray. They say I got a body like a god. Amen. Buddha, praise God. I don't know. Care if you pray to Buddha. It doesn't matter what god you worship. Oh, come on here. I said it doesn't matter what god you worship. Amen, friend. I want you to know. I want to clear it up for you. Amen. One of the most important things to know about the rapture is that Jesus Christ is about to come. I said the Lord is on His way. And I believe by the scriptures I can prove that Jesus Christ is on His way. How do you know, Brother Sweetie, that Jesus is coming? First of all, because He promised He would come. Amen. I said the promise that He would come. He said in St. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Well, glory. I said, I will come again. I can tell you, young people, listen to me. It does not matter what this world says. You may get home and go home to family members who don't believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You may go home, amen, to mamas and daddies who have no idea that Jesus is coming. Friend, don't let your spirits be dampened, and don't be deceived by the lies and the fables told by this hour in which we live. Honey, God didn't create me to build a kingdom on this earth. Amen. I am already a part of a kingdom that is without end, and Jesus Christ is on His way back. You say, preacher, that's just not enough. Amen. Just cause you read a little scripture right there that said he's coming back. Amen. I can tell you, not only because of the promise do we know he's coming, but because of the proclamation. Amen. I can tell you, somebody proclaimed something, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. He left in a cloud, and he's a coming in a cloud. Woo! Amen. He's a coming. Ready or not? What'd you say, Brother Tom? Wake up! Is that what you said? Say it for me. Jesus is coming. Woo! Wake up! Come on now. I've been trying to preach this message for 2 days. Amen. Wake up. Jesus is coming. I'm telling you, young people, he's a coming. I said, Jesus is a coming. Amen. I can tell you, not only do I know he's coming because of the proclamation, but friend, he said in that same St. John chapter 14, he said, before I come for you, I'm going to come to you. Amen. And 2,000 years ago, in a little upper room, 120 people gathered together in what was known as the day of Pentecost. Amen. I said, as the day of Pentecost, amen, he fulfilled his promise. He said, I will come, amen, to you. I will not leave you comfortless. And friend, if he didn't leave me comfortless, I'm telling you, he's not going to leave me in this world to suffer with the rest of lost humanity. Well, just who do you think you are? Well, if I can get that far, I'll tell you who I am in just a little while. I'm telling you, young people, you are somebody. I know this world doesn't put much stock in what we are. They don't care too much for this old-time Pentecostal way. But I'm telling you that God, amen, calls us valuable. How many believe Pentecost is real? Jesus is coming. You need to know that, young people. When you leave here, you don't need nothing. They believed it so strong. Now, this was 30-some years ago. It's before I was even born. I'm only 25. Amen. It's before I was born, 30 years ago. I got an aunt. She usually comes one night. She's just real busy this week. Most of you know Sister Lou. Amen. Sarah. Ain't Sarah. I'm telling you, she's a firecracker for Jesus. But I'm telling you, 30 years ago, she had bought her a pretty little brick house right there in the center of Oakdale. But my grandpa was a romping, stomping, sin-killing, devil-chasing, aisle-running, amen, pew-jumping, holy-rolling Pentecostal preacher who didn't believe in preaching but three things: salvation, Holy Ghost infilling, amen, in the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, he preached it so strong that my Aunt Sarah went out and sold her brand new house and went rented a little shack on the other side of town. She said, it's no way I'll get that house paid for before Jesus comes back. Honey, that was 30 years ago. But friend, his coming is more imminent than it's ever been. It could be any moment. He's a coming. I don't care what some dead, dry saint who don't have enough power, God, to blow the fuzz off of a peanut. I don't care what they say. I don't care if they don't believe it. Honey, the book said it. The book said he's a coming. And I'm telling you, he's a coming back. Woo! Glory to God. The Lord's coming. You need to know that. He's coming for His children. Amen. He's coming for one people. That's the one that's washed in the blood. The soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Woo! I said the one. Young people, some of you this week, you came and you didn't even know the Holy Ghost moving. Amen. From getting the popsicle. You didn't know much about it, but you come down to this altar and you felt something run all over you. You felt freedom like you never felt. I'm telling you what that was. That was the crimson flood of Calvary that flooded your soul. My God, that's who Jesus is coming back for. Just a few things that the children have. This will just tell you a quick test to tell you whether or not you want his. James Snow. Anybody know James Snow? Amen. Brother James Snow sang a song for the Ozark Bible Institute, Overcomers. And the song said, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Amen. Well, this will find out if you're one of them or not. Amen. The Bible said in Matthew 5 and 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Friend, if you're going to be one of the children of God, if you're going to be, amen, found in that number on that day, it will be because you've purified yourself even as He is pure. It will be because you've cut away that flesh. Amen. You've took away that sin, that filth, and that Eve. Come on now. Yeah, I don't believe you count yourself a child of God if you still live the way you lived before you come to camp when you go home. I said, if you was lost when you come to camp and you know sin was in your life and you leave this youth camp and you live the same way at home as you lived before you come to camp, friend, I'm telling you, all you did was feel a goosebump. All you did was get a touch. Amen. But when you get changed, when you get washed in the blood of Jesus, my Bible said all things will pass away and behold all things will become new. You won't walk like you used to walk. You won't talk like you used to talk. You won't go where you used to go. Why? Because I got a pure heart. Brother Clinton said, he knelt down that night. He was 27, never known nothing but sin. That little old boy kneeling beside him was 7, had never known sin, and the blood washed them both clean. He said he went out that next day. He climbed up on that, whatever they call that thing, that oil field. Amen, Brother Barley. Climbed up on that rig. Amen, that Derek can. It got to getting on his nerves. He dropped, they done told them all. He got saved. He took his boot, put it right in the seat of his britches, and kicked him off that, amen, top of that rig. Amen, felt so bad. Said, my God, I told these people I saved. Here I done kicked a boy off top the rig. And said, God spoke to him. Said, son, have you ever kicked a boy off the rig before? He said, Lord, many times. He said, you ever felt bad about it? He said, not once. God said, son, you're saved. I'm telling you, your heart will change. Amen. I said, your heart will change. You can't do what you used to and still have a good conscience. My God, only the pure in heart shall see God. Let me tell you something. Have everything just right where everybody can see it. Come on now, help me preach. I said, you can have everything just right where everybody can see it and still be rotten to the core on your heart. But I can tell you something, it don't work that way the other way. You ain't no way you can have a clean heart and look like the devil. So the thing you need to worry about, I never have got cleaned up to take a bath. I just got in the bathtub. I'm not telling you, friend, just get your heart right. I said, just get the heart right. And if you get the heart right, God will do the rest. Got to be pure. I got to hurry and watch myself here. Amen. I think I've been preaching 8 minutes. Bear with me. How many knows his children are pure? How many believes that? I said, how many believes that? How many believes that? How many believes what Ephesians, amen, 5:27 says? That he might present it to himself a what? A glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it said that it should be holy. And without blemish. How many knows we need to be pure? Not only that, but friend, if you are a child of God, you will have power. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. Amen. First of all, you purified yourself, got your heart right. Amen. Salvation's come. Now you can move on to the Holy Ghost. Don't start with the Holy Ghost. That ain't how it works. Come on, somebody. Amen. I said, that ain't how it works. You got to start with the blood. I said, you got to start with the blood. I said, any other way, you're a thief and a robber. Come on, somebody. I said, but if you'll start with the blood, amen, I can tell you the next thing is the power. Oh, yeah. Oh, you ask Peter. You ask Peter pre-Pentecost and see what he was. He's a lying cusser. He denied Christ 3 times before the rooster crowed twice. Amen. Yes, sir. He was full of evil and filth and ungodliness. Amen. But I can tell you, he got to weeping and crying because the way he treated Christ, he got delivered. Friend, he made it to that upper room. I'm telling you about a church that's got power, that's manifesting the power of God. Amen. He walked out of that upper room, and the Bible said he's on his way to a prayer meeting, and all of a sudden he met a lame man, and that lame man said, amen, I need some money. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I to thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. I'm telling you what that is. That's a child of God. I said that's a child of God with the power. Woo! You got to have power. Amen. Ask Paul in Acts 16. When that woman with the spirit of divination. Oh, yeah. Oh, you're holy men. Oh, you're holy men. Woo! He said, shut up, woman. He cast the devil out of her. She is full of the devil. He cast the devil out of her. They hated him. Amen. Power, you got to have passion if you're a child of God. Amen. Y'all come help me. Just stay back here, Brother Chris. Come on up here, Mr. Oklahoma. Right up here, brother. Amen. It's my buddy right here. I got me some help. All my help, come help me. Except you guys that's got to sit in the pew. Amen. Said you got to have passion. How many believes that? Stephen had passion. While they were stoning him to death, he was looking up into heaven. Woo! He's looking up into heaven, I'm telling you. He said, I see the Son of God. I see Jesus Christ. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. As they stoning him to death, he said, Lord, lay not this sin unto their charge. Woo, glory to God. That's passion, amen. How many knows you need passion? How many knows if you go, amen, you got to have something that'll last, amen. I said, you got to let this thing get a hold of. You know, one guy said, I heard Ronnie Henson say one time, said, you know, some folks say, hey, they say it's just beside me why a man will want to live and do what Pentecostal folks want to live and do. And I like what Ronnie Henson said. He said, when it quits getting beside you and starts getting inside you, you're going to know why we do what we do. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, you got to have a passion. When this thing becomes more to you, amen, than just an affair. When this thing becomes more to you and just something I got at youth camp, amen, the world's going to take notice that you've been with Christ. Amen. All right. I'm almost through. How many said praise the Lord? Mama, come get ready to sing Heaven. We'll be worth the journey when I get there. How many knows that's the truth? Hey, man, go ahead and sit down, brother. Right there. Just sit right there. How many knows he's coming? I said, how many knows he's coming? How many of you know he's coming for his children? Now, this is what you really need to know. Are you chosen? Are you chosen? I want to preach something to you just for a few minutes. I want to just let you know. You know, they don't preach Christianity right no more. No, they don't. They preach Christianity. Thank you, G. It's weak. Somebody say weak. It's weak. You know, there was a man whose wife was a member of Leonard Ravenhill's church. And He had been trying. He'd never been saved. And brother Paul David, he had been trying for 30 years to become a 33-degree Mason. Brother Michael Tom, he'd been trying for 30 years. And in 30 years, he still had not become a 33-degree Mason. Amen. That same man in 2 hours' time would have been singing in the choir. Oh, man, I think I'll pick that up and put it in my pocket. I'll use that later. Amen. I said that same man in 2 hours' time. Oh, come on now. How many knows this thing going to cost you something? Let me tell you, young people, something. I come to preach to you. Amen. If you're chosen, I got news for you, honey. Amen. It is not, amen, a little tiptoe through the tulips. I don't know what your pastor told you when you got saved. But my daddy was my pastor and still is my pastor. And he told me, son, you better get ready because you got a fight on your hands. Oh, come on now. Just let me roll my sleeves up. Amen. I'm getting ready to fight. I got a gimpy right arm now. I ain't got much power in my right hand punch. I believe the Holy Ghost can help my left. Amen. I'm telling you, you got a fight on your hands. Amen. If you are a chosen child of God, I want you to understand what you are. Amen. First, I want you to know that you are a peculiar individual. Amen. Are you listening to me? I said you are a peculiar individual. Amen. I want you to notice this young man, these ladies, look how beautifully they're dressed. I mean, they look good. Now think spiritual with me here. Amen. It's just think spiritual. I mean, look at old Ben. Man, got them boots shining. I mean, you comb your hair in them. Got that suit on. I can tell you, this fella here, man, he looks peculiar. He's just different than everybody else. Amen. Go ahead and do what you need to do. Amen. I want you young people to know, amen, to live in this world. You are going to be peculiar. I want you to know when you leave this camp, if you leave here a chosen child of God, you're going to walk back into a schoolhouse, amen, that don't understand, amen, what it is to be a Christian. They don't understand what it is to be different. You're going to be peculiar. Let me tell you something, friend. The man who tells you being peculiar is fun is a liar. I didn't say we don't have fun. And when we get together with people, that's why when Peter got out of prison, the first place he went, he said, I went to find somebody that's just like me. That's why Paul said, be not unequally yoked together with the unbeliever. Well, I feel like preaching. Amen. You are peculiar. Amen. The Bible says, and I don't know where my scriptures are here. Bear with me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'll find them. Just bear with me. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar. Amen. Somebody say peculiar. I said, somebody say peculiar. Amen. You are peculiar. Peculiar people. That means you're purchased. Amen. You are beyond usual. You are special. You are out of the ordinary. I don't fit in with the rest of society. Amen. I don't fit in with Miss Pelosi. Oh, come on, somebody. Hey, I said I don't fit in with liberal media. I don't understand the liberal ideas of this world. Amen. I am of a new world order. I am a new government. I'm set up. I said I'm set apart. You're peculiar. Yeah, yeah. Oh, you're not going to fit in. My Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen. That means when I walk down the street, when I go to Walmart, when they meet me in the department store, they know it's something different about me. Amen. They walk different. They talk different. They live different. Why? Because I am not of this world. I'm really trying to get somebody excited about going to heaven. You wondered what I'm doing. I'm really hoping somebody will get a gut full of this world and say, I'm sick and tired of this world. I'm tired of this life. Amen. Honey, I wasn't made to scratch around in a chicken yard with the chickens of this world. I was made to soar past the heavens. My God, I've got a home being prepared. Peculiar. Peculiar. Is it fun being peculiar? Where's that young lady that testified about being a holy roller? Stand up, sis. You ever seen this girl sing songs of Zion? I said, have you ever seen this young lady sing the songs of Zion? We could all use some good lessons. Hang on. We're not at a concert. Come on now. Hey, man. I'm telling you, she gets in it, brother. She's a clapping. She's excited. Yes, sir. She's peculiar. She said she went to school and she just didn't fit in. She said they called her Holy Roller. And she said, I liked it. You can sit down. You can sit down. You know why she likes being peculiar? Because she's been really born again. I said till you really have felt the sweet blood of Jesus Christ run down your sick, sin, sick heart and wash you clean and wash you white as snow. Hey, I said, I don't fit in. No, you don't fit in, brother. I'm telling you, you don't fit in with this crew. Man, they dignified. Look at them. I mean, look at them looks on their face. I mean, they think they better. Come on now. Peculiar. I'm getting somewhere. I'm almost to where I want to preach at. Hey, man, y'all just bear with me right there. All right, y'all want a chair? Y'all want to sit down? Y'all want to sit down? Y'all sit down on the steps. Hey, man, just kind of look at him like he's crazy. Hey, man, whatever y'all want to do, hey, y'all do what you want. Because you may be here a few minutes. I'm almost through, but listen. Hey, man, not only are you peculiar, but you are pilgrims. Come on, somebody. Hey, man, you are pilgrims. Listen. The most important part to know about a pilgrim is what he's doing. I said the most important thing to know about a pilgrim is what he's doing. He is on a pilgrimage. He is on a journey. I got a young man back here. I just want you to know he's on a journey. Amen. I want you to young people to know, amen, that you are not of this world. That's why you cannot become a part of this world, because you're a sojourner in this land. You are passing through. Amen. We've got a better city. I said we got a better city awaiting us. We're on a pilgrimage. Oh, I want you to listen to me. Amen. If you think this journey to heaven is something easy, I suggest you buy John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim Progress, and read about young Christian. I'm telling you, friend, this thing isn't a fairy tale. This is real life. You got a real devil who knows he had but a short time to work. He don't want you to finish your journey. I said, you're on a pilgrimage. Can I read to you a little something? Can I read this? This is about the pilgrims on their way to America. Is that all right? Can I preach that kind of stuff? You can preach that here at youth camp. They were known as separatists. Who knows that? Give me a little history lesson. Amen. Preschool history lesson. They were not separatists. I want you to listen to me. They began to get together and try to leave in between the years of 1586 and 1605. And I want you to know, just because you began your journey, it doesn't mean it's going to be over in the morning. Come on. Hallelujah. My grandfather, when he first got saved, he was going to the local Assembly of God church. And he was clapping his hands one day. And they began to sing the songs of Zion. And they began to sing about, amen, how they was, we're getting ready to leave this world. I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Amen. Keeping. Amen. How's it go? My record's right. Watching both day and night. I'm getting. My grandfather sit there. He listened to that song, Let It Get Through. Brand new Christian in the Lord. He raised his hand. He said, Hey, Pastor. Said, I got to testify. He jumped up and said, I don't know where y'all got that song. I just want to let you know, I'm not getting ready. I'm already ready. He thought he was, but 40 years later, when he died from poison from a nail it got in his foot, it rotted his foot off the end of his leg, fought crippling arthritis, come on somebody, amen, fought the devil, amen, fought every imp in hell, amen, I tell you, he realized what they said, I'm getting ready, amen, I'm not ready yet, but one of these days, the master's going to look down and see a finished product, and he's going to call me. I said, we're on a journey. I said, we're on a journey. Amen. I said, we're on a journey. On this journey, you are going to face difficulties. They had been trying from 1586 to 1605. Amen. To leave New England or leave England and make their way across that Atlantic Ocean and make it to the New World. But friend, they met with obstacles. Unable to obtain the papers necessary to leave England. They had to wait a while. They tried in 1607. Are you listening to me? They tried in 1608. They finally got 150 together. And they said, well, if we can't leave England and get on a ship and go across the Atlantic, we'll migrate into Amsterdam. That didn't work. They stayed there a little while. And so they went on to the Netherlands. They said, well, we'll move on to the Netherlands. We'll go to Leyden. So we'll go down to Leyden. Listen, they was pretty successful there. Some were, some weren't. Leyden was a thriving industrial center, and many members were able to support themselves working at Leyden University or in the textile, printing, and brewing trades. Others were less able to bring in sufficient income, hampered by their rural backgrounds and the language barrier. For those, accommodations were made for. But listen, it said the Netherlands was, however, a land whose culture and language were strange. Though it was in England, it was still strange. It wasn't what they was looking for. I wish somebody would help me preach here. Amen. It was strange and difficult. Hey, listen to me. It said their children were becoming more and more Dutch as the years passed by. We can't afford. Oh, come on here. I said we can't afford to lose this generation because they got too involved in this world. My God, we're in a journey. I said, it's a pilgrimage. Don't get satisfied. I said, don't get satisfied. Finally, they finally got their personal and business matters settled. They finally got ready. And in July of 1620, they gathered aboard the Speedwell. How many ever heard about the Speedwell? And they departed Delft's Haven with the laden colonists. They reached the Southampton, Hampshire. They met with the Mayflower and the additional colonists. They finally were able to leave on August the 15th. Amen. 1620. Listen, soon thereafter, the Speedwell crew reported that their ship was taking water. Are you listening to me? So they were diverted. Amen. Have you ever been diverted? Come on. I said they were diverted to Dartmouth, Devon. Amen. Listen, they still haven't made their journey. I said we still haven't made the journey. Are you listening to me, saints of God? Are you listening to me, young people? If you count yourself with the chosen, I said the journey's not over. You may get diverted. You may get turned to some adult. Don't get satisfied with this world. I said don't get satisfied with this world. Finally, after several attempts to leave on the Speedwell, they said there's no way that we can leave. It's not seaworthy. I said, it's not seaworthy. Come to find out, the crew didn't want to live up to their contract, and they had caused the ship to leak. Have you ever felt deception arise? Amen. On the journey, amen. I said, I've been there. But listen to me. All 121 passengers boarded on the Mayflower. I want you to hear me for just a few more minutes. Amen. They got together. It was only 102 of the people were the original starters. Only 28 of them were members of the congregation. But they left on September the 16th, 1620. Initially, the trip went smoothly. But underway, they were met with strong winds and storms. Listen, one of these caused the main beam to crack. Hear this. And although they were more than halfway on the to the their destination, the possibility of turning back was considered. Are you listening to me? I said, we're right here at the end of the journey. We're right here on the verge. I said, we're right here on the brink of the rapture. But if you're not careful, you'll consider stopping your pilgrimage due to the struggle, due to the warfare, due to the hardship. My God, I think I ought to quit. Sometimes, Brother Benjamin Goodwin, you got to just get creative. That's what they done. That main beam cracked, and history says they took a great big screw. It wasn't what it was made for. It was really a household. It's really something, Brother Tommy, that they actually used in the household to fix things. But they took and they became creative. How many knows? Sometimes you got to be like David and just encourage yourself in the Lord. I'm almost through. I promise. Mama, I'm telling you, I need you up here to sing. Hallelujah. Heaven will be worth the journey when I get there. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I'm moments away. I'm moments away. I'm moments away from being done here. But I'm telling you, they met with difficulty. They even thought of going back when they were over halfway, got going along. And John Howland falls out of the ship. They save him barely. He caught a hold of a rope. Amen. They lost two people, died on the way. One boy, they named him Oceanus. He was born on the Mayflower. But I want you to know, I like what this says. It names all this difficulty. And these are the words it says, land was sighted. I feel like something good is about to happen. I said land was sighted. Oh, I don't know. Y'all go help me out over there, brother. Amen. Y'all go ahead. I said land was sighted. Y'all get ready. Don't come out till I tell you. I said land was sighted. I want you to listen to me. I don't know if you realize it or not. Amen. But Jesus Christ is just about to come back. And I believe if we can look ahead with a spiritual eye, I can almost see the glisten of the pearly gates of heaven. I can almost hear as they practicing right now. Amen. They clearing the harp. I don't know which angel is going to give that blast to call us home. But I'm telling you, the trumpet's about to sound. I said, land ahoy. Land ahoy. I said, land ahoy. Pilgrims, an alien. How about that? I said a pilgrim is an alien. To this world, you are strange. To this world, you are an alien. But if you're chosen. I said, but if you're chosen. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. Saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throng, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four, and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. I'm not telling you, friend, to this world you're a pilgrim, and to this world you're a stranger, but I come with good news. There's something you need to know about this rapture. If you call yourself chosen, then to God you are royalty, you are holy, you are regal, you are godly. Oh my God, I said, my God, I'm telling you, the struggle gets long, the battle gets hard, we don't understand sometimes the difficulty. Amen. Why don't people accept me? I'm telling you why, because God accepts you, and this world cannot accept what is of God. Woo! Stand to your feet. These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. We're persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers. I said, you need to profess it. You need to just go ahead and let the devil know. He's going to try to taunt you with it. You go ahead and let him know, I am a pilgrim. You go ahead and let him know, said, yep, you're right. I am a stranger. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, you listen to me. If you become mindful of this world when you leave this youth camp, then friend, you will be presented with the opportunity to go back into that world. I said, if you so choose when you leave this camp to let this world catch your eye, and you become mindful of this world around you, I said, you're going to be presented with the opportunity. Oh, but listen, but now they desire a better country. Well, how many loves the United States of America? I love you cut me. I bleed red, white, and blue. Amen. I said, I love the U.S. of A. But friend, as much as I love the U.S. of A., there is nothing in the world that I would trade my heavenly home. I said, I've got a heavenly home. I've got a desire for a better country. I've got a desire. He said, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God, I said, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Whoa! For he hath prepared for them a city. Oh, come on. Amen. I said, come on. He's prepared for them a city. I'm telling you, young people, I'm trying to excite somebody. Amen. This world is not your friend. It cannot satisfy. But I'm praying that some way, somehow, you'll let a desire for a better country. I said, the rapture is about to take place. Jesus, how many believes he's coming back? How many believes he's coming back? How many believes he's coming back? How many of you either know or want to leave here knowing you're chosen? I'll say it one more time. I said, how many of you either know or want to leave here knowing that you know that you're chosen? How many of you want to leave this truth camp with a desire for a better country, that there's nothing in this world could turn you to the right hand or to the left hand? I won't look behind me, but I've got a hold of a plow. I'm looking straight forward. My eyes is on the prize, and his name is Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher. Come on, I want you to run down to this altar. I want you to run down to this altar right now. Come on, come on. If you're chosen or want to be chosen, I want you to pray, God, give me a desire for a better country.